Good morning and welcome to all. A special welcome to all guests that are here today. Your presence is a blessing as we are all now together to offer our right worship and the offering of this Mass on this Sunday morning. Our condolences today go out to the family of Ruth Messler. She's one of her bishops. She died this last Tuesday at the age of 91. She's resident at Methodist Manor. She had received the final sacraments about an hour before she passed away. There were several of her children that were there at her bedside, so we see that as a graced death. And there will be a bit of a wake service for her at 4 o'clock today at the Fitzgerald's Chapel there at Calvary Cemetery. And that's at 4 o'clock today. Everybody's welcome to that, family members, parishioners, and so on. There'll be a Mass for her tomorrow at the chapel at Calvary Cemetery, and they're asking just pretty much for only family to be at that, and her burial will follow immediately. So our condolences to her family and friends, especially the ones that are here at this Mass. Eternal rest granted to her, O Lord, and let the perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and the souls of all the faith that departed, to the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. My apologies today that we do not have a Sunday bulletin. As you probably have noticed, as you were coming in the vestibule, well, we send off all that information as we normally do electronically on Tuesdays, and it usually comes to us. Usually gets here on Thursday, Friday at the latest. Wasn't here on Friday, so we sent out, asked the people who's doing the shipping to track it for us, and the reply was, well, they're on their way, which they're not here yet. So probably arrive tomorrow morning. And so, which is not very good. So my apology. You can read the bulletin. You go to the parish website. We have all the bulletin there, so you can do it at your home computer, or also if you have a smartphone or some other device, you can see it there as well. We ask you, please do not do that during Mass. Whether you have a paper bulletin or electronic version, we wait till after Mass to do that at your leisure. Also, yesterday was the feast of St. Mary Magdalene, our patron saint, so we celebrated as a solemnity at Mass yesterday. And so we have the ice cream social is at 1 o'clock today with a talent show, part of our parish celebration. And also, you may notice in the vestibule of the church on the south end by the doors, we have the image of St. Mary Magdalene. And my thanks to those who spent some time putting some extra decorations there, the flowers, the candle, and so on, a nice touch. And as we ask for this apostle to the apostles, for her intercession for us as this parish church, to also, like she did, to go forth and to announce to all the good news of the risen Christ. Now, you probably have heard by now, in about a month's time, there is going to be a solar eclipse. That we're going to see it through a good part of North America. Monday, August the 21st. And this solar eclipse is going to go stretch pretty much from the Pacific Northwest all the way down into the southeast part of the country. And here in Tulsa, they're saying a little after 1 o'clock in the afternoon that day, we'll have about a 90% eclipse of the sun. Our friends up in Kansas City, Omaha, and such, they will have a 100% total eclipse of the sun. And so I don't know about you, but I'm praying that it's not going to rain that day. They want no clouds, to kind of have more the full experience of this eclipse. Because the one time I've seen a partial eclipse, and that was about at least 30 years ago, and it was about a 25-30% eclipse of the sun. So it's a rarity that we get to experience this. So rare, it's usually around every 35-40 plus years, and given my age, I better make the most of this next month. And so that's one of the things it's on my to-do list. Is a solar eclipse. I've not really seen a full one yet. Another thing on my to-do list is to go see the redwood trees in Northern California. They are the tallest trees on the planet. They can grow up to a height of 350 feet. Now, to give you an idea how tall that is, here in Tulsa, the tallest building in Tulsa is the Williams Building. It is 55 stories. That's 550 feet, thereabouts. Imagine a tree that is more than half the height of that building. And these redwoods, they don't grow you don't have one out in the middle by itself. They are in large clumps of trees, big stands of these trees. And people who have seen them, they say that the pictures just don't do it justice. It's like going to the Grand Canyon, you see pictures of the Grand Canyon, movies about the Grand Canyon, but seeing it in person, it's a completely different experience. So to see these trees is on my to-do list. Now, also, their cousins, the sequoias, they grow a little bit not as high, but they also live quite a long time. Because the average redwood tree can live about 500 to 700 years. And some of them have lived up to 2,000 years. And their cousins, the sequoias, some of them have lived up to 3,000 years. So definitely something I want to see. Now, it's interesting. Today's gospel reading, we hear Jesus give us three more parables from Matthew, in which he's talking about the weeds among the wheat, talking about the mustard tree, and also about the bit of yeast with this three measures of flour. And Jesus is talking about the mustard tree. He says it comes from the smallest of seeds and it grows up into the largest of plants. Well, sorry to say this, the average mustard tree grows to a height of 4 to 6 feet. About my height, basically. So why doesn't Jesus use the example? I guess he could say, well, the kingdom of heaven is like the mighty redwood trees in Northern California. Of course, they'd have no idea what he was talking about. But he could have used other examples similar. He could have said the kingdom of heaven is like the mighty Lebanon's in the cedars in Lebanon. Or he could have used the example of the oak trees and so on, something, you know, that the majestic, the wow factor, the strength, the power. Instead, he says the kingdom of heaven is a shrub. And after the next line, he says it becomes a large bush. Now, pardon me when I read that, I think that, you know, maybe Jesus should stick to what he knows best. You know, being Lord and Savior. And leave the horticulture and forestry to the trained professionals. But I think perhaps he is trying to tell us something about the characteristics of the kingdom of heaven, and therefore what we as the church, as disciples, are to be giving a witness to this kingdom, a kingdom that is to be alive and well by the witness of our own lives, that those values of the kingdom are being lived out through us. Now, for those who routinely gather on Thursday morning, the men for the breakfast and the Bible study, one of the things that the reflection we were using, pointing out that the three characteristics of the mustard tree. One is that it's quite common, particularly in the Galilee area of the Holy Land. So it'd be something that the people would have known exactly what he was talking about. And also it was an herb to be used also for medicinal purposes when people were sick. Another characteristic is that the birds that take shelter in the trees, they're not the big birds of prey. It's not the eagles and the hawks and so on that would be nesting in the great big trees. Rather, these are the birds that pretty much nest along the ground. And so for they take shelter from the predators in the branches of the mustard tree. Third characteristic is that the mustard tree, with the conditions are right, can be quite prolific. They can become established, and once they are, they can take over an entire garden, and once you've got them, you really can't get rid of them. They're extremely difficult to eradicate. Those characteristics, as opposed to that image of the big trees, the redwoods, in California, the cedars of Lebanon, or the mighty oak trees, about that image of power and strength and stability, those are basically the characteristics of the kingdoms of the world. Not the kingdom of heaven. The kingdoms of the world, with their power and strength, they're always going to want to increase that power. They're going to be wanting to protect that power, and they will use their strength in order to do so. That's the kingdoms of the world. That's not the kingdom of heaven that we as the church are to be a living witness of. Instead, the kingdom of heaven is where those who are sick can find healing, where those who are vulnerable can find a place of shelter, and also where, once it's established, you can't get rid of it. That's what we're to be giving a witness to as the church, as disciples. We seek to disciple one another. And I think these three parables are linked in that what God can take, which that seems to be the most insignificant, the unimportant, the tiny seed, the mustard tree, or that yeast that makes the bread. And by the way, when I think of the bread and the woman with the flour, but the image that comes to my mind is that of grandma making biscuits for breakfast. However, you have to understand, three measures of flour, that's 50 pounds of flour. So think of it this way. Maybe Jesus retelling kind of a modern setting of the parable is like, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman who went to Sam's Club and bought a whole pallet of flour, and with a little bit of yeast can provide enough bread to feed a vast multitude. That's the kingdom of heaven. And God could even take that which is apparently evil and use it for our good. Those seeds that are sown by the enemy that grow up, the weeds among the wheat. It's a reminder to us that we cannot achieve perfection on our own. It is in humility and patience that we leave that to the Lord to work in us, to bring about our salvation, to bring it to its completion. That's what the kingdom of heaven is like, as opposed to the kingdoms of the world. One more thing about the redwood trees out in Northern California. Yes, they grow up to 350 feet. They can live hundreds, even thousands of years. Yes, the bark can be a foot thick, but they also have an extremely shallow root system. So when the conditions are right, such as a big storm comes up, big driving wind, they will topple over and crash to the ground. And that is the ultimate fate for the kingdoms of the world, but not the kingdom of heaven, which endures forever. And that's the kingdom that we, as the church, are to be living witnesses to. The place where those who are spiritually sick find healing. Those who are vulnerable find a place of protection, and it can never be eradicated from the face of the earth. Let this be the kingdom. Because every time that we follow, because whenever we as the church have tried to imitate the powers of the world, it doesn't turn out well. And every time that we individually as disciples put more faith, more trust in the powers of the world, as opposed to the powers of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, that too doesn't work out well. So let us in our celebration today rejoice. The kingdom of God is not that, like the kingdom of heaven is not like that mighty tree, but rather is the shrub. That we find protection, hope, and healing in its branches.